Opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott, this is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning, everyone. This is Cameron Middleton filling in today for Carl and Linda. This is KCNR Free Fire Radio, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Good morning. We have a wonderful guest here from Haven today, but before we get to that, I think everybody's taking a look outside, trying to get a grasp on what the actual weather is, but we're going to get it officially here from Jared, if you would, please.
All right. Today is smoky, if you've walked outside this morning. It's going to be a high of 98 today with a low of 67. Tomorrow it's going to be smoky and then sunny with a high of 101, a low of 67. On Sunday it's going to be hot with a high of 101 and a low of 69. And on Monday we have a slight chance of thunderstorms with a high of 101 and a low of 67.
Wonderful, Jared. Thank you very much. Clearly we're having a Arctic cooling trend or something coming out of Alaska to get us all the way down to 98 degrees. That's certainly some progress. Jim, good morning. We have here from Haven Humane Society today our shelter manager, Jim, who's got a wonderful and, I guess what, precocious animal with us this morning, a wonderful dog. Jim, I'll let you go ahead and introduce.
Yeah, good morning, Cameron. Yeah, I have Duke with me, and he's a little distracted. He keeps seeing the shadows from all these cords on the floor, and he's thinking that's something he needs to chase, so... you guys can't see me out there, but I'm straining at the end of this leash because he's so excited to get whatever he sees on the ground. But Duke's about 6 years old. He's been with us for about 90 days now. I brought him with us today because he is a little nervous inside the kennels, so he doesn't display well there. So I thought I'd get his name out there in the general consciousness and try to get some people down to say hi to him.
Absolutely. Well, just taking a look at Duke, we could tell, I mean, just a good, strong, healthy dog here. You know, you can tell great energy, certainly in seeing a pet like this. I know it's something my wife has advocated for quite a while, but we have a, our little boy's about to be 3 years old. And okay. I said, listen, we've already got one wild animal at the house. I'm not sure if we can handle two. Of course, it might be easier to train the dog than it is the 3 year old.
Oh, probably. So. You know, and he's actually a pretty well trained dog. He's not, doing what he knows how to do right now, but he's actually a two-time member of our Camp Love a Pet, so he's been through that twice.
Outstanding.
You know, in my car this morning on the way here, he just lays right down on the back seat and just waits for me to get to the next spot. While we were in the waiting room, he was just laying spread eagle on the floor to get all that coolness from the tile, you know, soaking up into his body. But these shadows moving around on the floor just have got him on a whole other level.
That'll do it. Get some lights going in here. It makes it a little bit tough. No, that's excellent, Jim. And if somebody is inquiring about this and really wants to come down and see Duke or one of the other animals, what is it specifically they need to do? Where are you located?
Yeah, well, right now we're doing everything by appointment. So you'd need to give us a call or get a hold of us on Facebook or through our email. Our phone number is 530-241-1653. And you can call to set up an appointment to meet with Duke or any of our other animals. Right now we're actually doing... the Stuff the Bus food drive. So anybody who brings down a small bag of non-perishable human food to donate to the Stuff the Bus drive can get $25 off any adoption fee right now. So
excellent. And Jim, I'm curious, I mean, with everything going on right now with COVID and everything else, are you seeing a downturn or an uptick either way in terms of people coming down and looking to add a great pet to the family?
Yeah, actually, our numbers right now are doing really well. We started the shift to appointment only adoptions, and I think it's actually been really great for the organization and for our adoption numbers. People are coming down with a purpose now rather than just browsing, and we're really getting animals out. So I don't know if it has to do with the COVID lockdown or if it has to do with the appointment based adoptions, but whatever it is, it's working right now, and we're gonna keep trying to do it into the future.
Well, and I could certainly see that in terms of, you know, number one, having some companionship at home. For those that are truly stuck at home that may not be able to go out, be doing a lot of their other normal social events, I would certainly see that this could be a real help.
Yes, yeah. It's definitely, especially for single folks, having someone who can be in the house with them, a cat or a dog, just to hang out is a really great thing.
Certainly. And about how many animals do you have down there that are available for people to come down? I mean, are we talking a dozen? Are we talking hundreds? What's the...
Well, I mean, technically we have hundreds. Usually we have 72 dog kennels in our adoption center.
Wow.
And 52 in our intake building. Right now we're only at about a third capacity, and we're trying to keep it that way, just to keep room for any fire evacuees, any patients of COVID who are, you know, sent to the hospital or in quarantine, anything like that. But we are in the middle of kitten season, so we are just, we're juggling kittens left and right.
I wouldn't have seen that coming. I see what you mean, though.
Yeah, they don't stop for anything.
Yeah, war, plague, famine, doesn't matter.
Exactly.
Absolutely. So in terms of, you mentioned the fire victims, and you mentioned these fires, and certainly it appears, I mean, anybody, just take a look at the news this morning. We've got fires. We're surrounded.
Right.
We're lucky right now in Shasta County. We aren't dealing with some of the active fires that we've dealt with clearly in the past, just even last couple of years.
Yeah.
But we're certainly seeing them from other areas. Are you starting to see any uptick? Are you starting to see any?
Not right now, because we are we serve Shasta County, so nothing yet has come our way. And I'm going to knock on wood as soon as I get out of here. But so we're just kind of waiting and seeing.
And in terms of how that process works, certainly from a couple of years ago when we had the car fire here, as well as Delta and Hertz fires, which I'm sure also you brought their own demand on top of Haven Humane. How does that process work? Are the animals just coming in? Is it usually the firefighters that are out there?
Many different fronts. The main portion is going to be folks who are evacuating, who need to have their dog held somewhere while they're evacuated. But we do have our animal control officers and the county animal control officers all working in the field. They call it shelter in place in the field. So places where maybe you've been evacuated, but the animals can't be safely evacuated, we'll go out and make sure they're safe and fed and watered and sheltered and stuff. But most of it is just evacuees who need a place to hold their dog for a couple of days while they're evacuated.
Absolutely. And I certainly remember as we had the car fire, that really was a main demand.
Yeah.
To see that. People were very concerned. What do I do? Where do I go?
Yeah.
Personally, being in the real estate business as well, you know, we've really seen it also. We have a very, especially because of the fires, we have a very tight and restricted rental market.
Yeah.
And a lot of the landlords out there just say, hey, sorry, don't want any pets.
Right.
They've had bad experiences, or for whatever reason, insurance, other things. And so I know that makes it difficult a lot of times for people saying, hey, I'm just trying to find a place to stay, and I can't, you know, I'm not able to find a place that will take my pets.
Yeah.
In instances like that, how long can someone have their pet with you in those evacuation situations?
Yeah, as far as the evacuation goes, once the area is open back up for repopulation, then the animals have to go back out. So we serve an emergency function only. We're not a long-term boarding facility for owned animals. Our focus is stray animals and things like that. So it's really just an emergency evacuation thing.
Well, and it sounds like all of you down there have done this pretty well and have gotten this down to make sure you have that two-thirds capacity essentially available right now in case an influx has to occur.
Yep, we're doing our best to be prepared.
That can't be an easy job, no question. And, you know, certainly I want to point out, I mean, the work that you do here with Haven Humane in the community, truly one of the great organizations that we have here, this being a rural area, and I'm sure we have a higher propensity for dogs and cats and other animals than most other areas do. And so the service you guys provide is truly tremendous. And I know the good work you've done in the community. And certainly for anybody out there, if you've got a cause that you want to look to help out and maybe donate some time, donate a little money to, anything else, please, Haven Humane is absolutely a wonderful place to direct those efforts.
Yeah, appreciate the kind words. We love being a part of our community, and we're always striving to be a bigger part of our community. If you want any more information about us, havenhumane.org, Facebook/Haven Humane Society. Reach out and we'll try to help you.
And Jim, one more time, that phone number?
530-241-1653.
Outstanding. Well, again, I really appreciate you coming in today. Duke, what a great dog. You really got to see Duke. I mean, full of energy, well-behaved. But Jim does not need to do any working out for the rest of the week here after just trying to keep Duke going. Yeah. Anyway, really appreciate it. Thank you so much for coming in and for bringing Duke in with you as well. Again, glad my wife and small child are not here with us this morning, because they would probably be begging me to take him home themselves.
Yeah,
so,
sure. Well, thanks for having me. Appreciate
absolutely,
it.
Absolutely, Jim. Thank you very much. And please stay tuned for our next segment that we have coming up here. We actually have the mayor of Reading, Adam McElvain, that will be joining us here just after the break, and kind of discussing some of the interesting ins and outs of the city of Reading, what's going on, keeping us up to date, and letting us know what we have to look forward to here in the city of Reading. And with that, we're going to be going ahead and checking the chat room. And anybody has any questions or anything else, please let us know. Thank you so very much.
There'll be days like this when there's no one complaining. There'll be days like this. Everything falls into place like the flick of a switch. Well, my mama told me every day like this.
Get your morning update with us, Armstrong and Getty, 9 to 12 on KCNR.
You always wanted to finish your degree. Now is the time, and Simpson University is still open. Our adult degree completion program is flexible, convenient, and affordable. We know you are busy, so you can attend classes here in the Reading area or online and finish your bachelor's degree in as little as 12 to 16 months. Our programs are affordable, convenient, and flexible. Classes are beginning soon. To learn more about how to finish your degree and advance your career, go to simpson.edu or call 530-226-4606.
If you're looking for the accountability of a personal trainer, the energy and camaraderie of a group, and a budget-conscious price tag, then our team training at Adamson's Peak Performance is for you. We've got your fitness needs covered with five types of time-efficient, 30-minute team training workouts. Mix and combine these challenging strength and conditioning sessions to enhance sports performance, build muscle, burn fat, and sculpt the body you've been dreaming of. AdamsonsPeakPerformance.com or call us at 221-8006.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
Come out and play. Have you seen the bill we all have to pay? The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
Slow down. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
Did you know that the City of Reading has started licensing commercial cannabis activities within the city limits? Synergy is the first of the city's approved retailers to obtain licensure, bringing to the Reading area the most experienced retailer in the North State. They will ensure that your visit is both professional and comfortable. Access is simple and discreet. Synergy has a private 25-space parking lot at the back of the building. Synergy is located at 345 Hempstead Drive, Reading.
The Backbone and Brew, located at 2143 Hilltop Drive, has been an integral part of our community for over 40 years. They have supported the veterans, law enforcement, fire and disaster survivors throughout this whole time. The Backbone and Brew has expanded their walk-in humidor and brought to the North State new lines of fine cigars, pipes, and tobacco products. Additionally, they are offering a pipe bar to try out new tobacco for taste and aroma. The Backbone and Brew is your one-stop shop for any tobacco product and accessories to include lighters, humidors, pouches, and more. Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive.
tune in to North State Now Thursday nights at 6 p.m. on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Our show features yours truly, Linda Bott, with Michelle Slade, Enjoy the Magazine, and Dr. Orna Gill, featuring music, art, health, wellness, shopping, and more.
Good morning and welcome back to KCNR 96.5 and 1460 AM, your talk radio. This is Cameron Middleton. I'm in today for Carl and Linda. I'll say more Linda than Carl. But they are on some kind of vacation, and I'm going to go over with Jared later on why he allows them to go on vacation at all. They should be in here working on a Friday morning like the rest of us. But no, I think they're taking some much-needed R&R. But wanted to introduce our next guest. We have the mayor of Reading with us this morning, Adam McElvain. Good morning.
Good morning, Cameron. How are you?
Doing quite well. Thank you for coming in at this hour and talking to us about everything going on at the city of Reading and down at City Hall. Wanted to cover a few things with you here this morning. I know we're certainly in some interesting times right now with everything going on worldwide, COVID, everything else. I mean, certainly it looks like California coming apart at the seams, or at least burning at the seams. We're lucky at the moment not to have any good active fires right here in our immediate area, but certainly some others going on around the rest of the state. And certainly we're all looking at the economic impacts of this and what's been going on here locally, both in Reading and Shasta County. And of course, I think the main issue on everybody's mind right now still is everything that's going on with the pandemic, with COVID, and really the effect that it's having on the local area, what's coming down the pike, specifically from Sacramento, from the state government, and how you guys are handling that. And just wanted to really kind of give the listeners an update in terms of what you're doing from the city of Reading standpoint, which I know that's different from Shasta County's, but what you're doing from the city standpoint, how you're getting that through, and really what you're doing to help the people here in town.
Well, first of all, thanks for having me. It's great to be here this morning, and I'd love to chat about that. It's something where, as a city, we're dealing with the new regulations and the new guidelines and mandates at the same time as everyone else. You know, we don't have an inside track on what the governor is going to do next, so we are somewhat reactionary, like the rest of everyone in town and the businesses dealing with those as they're coming down. So we've taken a very proactive approach on both fronts. You know, this is a public health issue, but now it's an economic issue as well, and those are both very important. So we have worked with Shasta County Public Health. As you mentioned, the city doesn't have a public health department, so we fall under the jurisdiction of the county's public health department. So we've been working with them through this process, but at the same time, there's been tremendous economic strain on our businesses, especially our small businesses. So in April, we approved a $39 million economic response package. A lot of that was an immediate relief to businesses and residents in town. Every single REU customer got a $250 rebate on their bill. Every customer that had a deposit, that deposit was refunded. And we set up a program for small business grants to qualify for grant money to help bridge the gap for them as they go through this time. Tuesday this week, the city council did approve another $750,000 in grant money that we're trying to get out to these small businesses in direct relief as soon as we can. You know, we'd like to have that money out to business here within less than a month. So we're going to begin to take applications very shortly for that money. And that money is focused a little bit differently this time. It's focused on small businesses, especially restaurants that are local, non-chain restaurants. What we'd like to do is reimburse restaurants if we can on some of the and other businesses as well on the cost that they've incurred updating their buildings to the COVID-19 standards. So the hard costs, the material costs that they've had to pay out of pocket to be in compliance with the rules. So as a city, we've been really proactive on trying to deal with this issue, helping our businesses that are struggling to get through, you know, the COVID, this time that we're in right now. And so it's been a real struggle for everyone, but the city's with you, and we're doing everything that we can to help our businesses survive. It's very, very important to us.
And touching, if you will, you mentioned the restaurants, and I think that's one we all see is really in the forefront here in terms of one of these industries locally, nationwide, but certainly locally, that's struggling. And especially with the yo-yo effect, if you will, of what Sacramento's doing and saying, well, you can't open, now you can't, now you sort of can. Oh, no, now you can't again. Close down, open up. It's been very difficult. One of the things I know that the city has been looking at because of the new, at least current guidelines this week, is the outdoor dining. And I know that's a little bit tough. Of course, Jared indicated again today we've got this big cooling trend coming in. 98 degrees going to be today. So, I mean, that's practically a blizzard in Reading for August. But in terms of this outdoor seating and allowing some of these businesses to go outside and to try and set up some seating outdoors, how has the city handled that?
So we've been again, extremely proactive. I think that we've issued over 100 permits for restaurants to have outdoor seating where it's available and where it makes sense. And so I'd say it's going very well. The city has tried to be a catalyst for restaurants to be able to make that adaptation so that they can increase their revenue and again, try and get through this time. So we've been very proactive trying to see what works for the businesses so that they can increase their revenue, continue to be, safe within the guidelines, and that we can all move forward together. So,
and so you indicated about the $750,000. A good is some of that money going to help with some of those costs? Because I realize that for a lot of the restaurants, some of them it's pretty easy to just set up a couple tables outside. Some of them it's much more substantial. I mean, I've seen large tent setups, canopies. Boy, I look at, say, Jack's downtown here, and they've really done quite an extensive setup, just even in that small area that they have between themselves and the building next door. So is that helping with some of those costs? Is that the idea?
Yeah, correct. That's accurate. So that's exactly what we're looking at, is those hard material costs where restaurants or other businesses have had to make changes to meet the requirements for the COVID-19 guidelines. So you're exactly right. The outdoor patios, the misters, plexiglass, things of that nature is exactly what we're looking to help reimburse these businesses for.
And in terms of the, $39 million is a lot of money. And a lot of relief relative to the city of Reading. We have a general fund budget that's only about double that. So that's a pretty substantial amount of money and relief to be coming from, you know, from our budget and from the city. Where's a lot of that coming from?
Well, most of that comes from the electric utility, which is separate from the general fund. And the electric utilities budget is larger than the general fund budget. So, it was money that was in the form of deposits, credits, the greenhouse gas money. So there was some, there's some money that we had never, utilized. It didn't look like it was going to be utilized, based on state law, so that we were able to use that, give it back directly to the people. And so it was a good opportunity for us. About half of that $39 million is in the form of projects. So we've been putting out a lot of smaller projects for businesses and contractors to do. So the direct relief was about half, and then the project side was about half as well. And those projects are going on right now. We put a lot of that work out already. And I know we have another, I think there's another $40 million in public works projects occurring right now. So there's definitely a lot of, money going back into the economy with the projects that are going on throughout the city.
Certainly. And I know we've got a lot of other projects, other investment, not just direct city investment, but going on here in the city of Reading right now. And I think when we return from our break, we can probably cover some more of that. But seeing some of the things going on downtown, certainly looking at the huge new courthouse project, the old Dicker site is getting pretty close to being done. We've got several others. And so I think when we return from break, we will go ahead and take a look at that, at some of those other projects that are going on, looking at some of this investment and seeing what the city of Reading can do economically to make it through what are obviously tough times for everyone. So with that, please stay tuned with us. And again, this is Cameron Middleton, KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. We'll be back shortly. Thank you.
Start your morning with Free Fire Radio and Carl and Linda Bott, 7 9 a.m.
And then it's us, Armstrong and Getty, from 9 to 12.
Colonoscopy is the most effective method of screening for colon cancer and is the only procedure that can both detect and prevent cancer in just one procedure. Take-home tests can miss up to 1 in 12 of colon cancers and most precancerous polyps. These tests do not prevent colon cancer. Only a colonoscopy can do that by removing polyps before they become cancerous. When caught early, the survival rate of colon cancer is 90%. This public service message is brought to you by Reading Endoscopy Center. Call them at 530-246-7000 or visit readingendoscopy.com.
Some things in life you can just rely on, like the comfy fit of a favorite pair of jeans and the tried and true performance of a new home comfort system from Rood. So here's to reliability, built into everything we do. Rely on Rood.
Get reliable comfort when the weather turns cold with a new heating system installed by the local pros at Alliance Heating and Air. Call Alliance Heating and Air today at 530-221-2642.
This ad is not from HUD or FHA and was not approved by HUD or any government agency. Consumers remain responsible for property taxes, homeowners insurance, and home maintenance. PRMI is an equal housing lender. This is not a commitment to lend. Rich Pinnell, branch manager, NMLS, number 1067640. PRMI, NMLS, 3094.
Let's talk about reverse mortgages for a moment. If you're 62 years or older and have equity in your home, a reverse mortgage could be a tool for your retirement. For those cash-strapped retirees or those looking for additional sources of income, this could be an answer. A reverse mortgage could eliminate your monthly payment and extend the life of your existing retirement cash. Reverse mortgage isn't for everyone, and the first step in seeing if a reverse mortgage is right for you is to become educated on the product. I'll be happy to help with that. I'm Rich Pinnell of Primary Residential Mortgage Incorporated, and if a reverse mortgage fits, then your life just got a whole lot easier. I specialize in reverse mortgages. My experience in this specialized field is why so many people have benefited from a reverse mortgage. Call me today. I'd love to help. 530-722-4579 or go to rich4reverses.com.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300. A reputation for excellence since 1965.
Tune in to North State Now Thursday nights at 6 p.m. on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Our show features yours truly, Linda Bott, with Michelle Slade, Enjoy the Magazine, and Dr. Orna Gill, featuring music, art, health, wellness, shopping, and more.
Where do you go in Shasta County to get advice on the best type of firearm to meet your needs and how to safely carry and use it? The answer is to join the revolution at locally owned Bastiani Arms. Bastiani Arms believes in a better way to serve their customers and providing them with all the information needed to make the right decisions before and after the sale. They have a large selection of guns and ammunition and always special discounts for veterans. Self-protection is your right. Join the revolution at Bastiani Arms, 2539 Larkspur Lane in Reading, 222-8222.
Nick Jared, good morning. This is KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. This is Cameron Middleton. I am filling in this morning for Carl and Linda, who are on vacation at an undisclosed location. Our phone number this morning, 605-4567. Of course, is a 530 area code. And I think, Jared, we're going to go ahead. We have a caller on the line, a gentleman I have not seen in quite some time, I think since at least yesterday. Nick Gardner, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Cameron. Good morning, Adam.
Morning.
Hey, I wanted to start off picking on you, Adam. Hey, I think you're doing a pretty good job, buddy. The reason I called is I'm curious about this fire break that Reading Electric Utility is building all the way around Reading. I've heard Carl and that Bean guy, the head of the electric utility, mention it, but I haven't found any specifics. Is it being built, or is it in the permit process? Are there people out working on it? Where can a person go see it, and how wide is it? That's what I'm curious about.
Well, you can go to the city's website to find out more information on how far we've gotten into our fire mitigation plan. And you're right. We, you know, after the car fire, we put together a five-year mitigation plan to create a protective barrier around the city and within the city. And we're currently in year two of that plan. And the reason that it takes 5 years is because the city owns a tremendous amount of property within the city boundaries. I think it might be, I want to say, 15 square miles of open space. And so there's quite a bit of work to do. But you are correct. And I can certainly get you more detailed information if what we have on our website isn't to the level that you'd like. But we have had crews working on that consistently to create those safe spaces, and especially around our electrical equipment, which is very important because as part of that plan helps us to maintain people's power. With the new rules and regulations in California, we're able to keep the power on for our customers, whereas you see in other areas with the electric utilities, they're having to shut people's power off. So RU is well positioned to keep the power on, which I think all of us on the city council feel is incredibly important, especially when it's 110 degrees out, is that people are able to keep their power on.
You know, the way I remember it, REU saved Reading's bacon by being able to compartmentalize and keep power on in certain places and not in other places. You mentioned Reading having a huge amount of owning property in Reading, which brought up another question I was thinking of. I read in a paper where Reading sold Sierra Pacific's foundation, the easement or the road that would lead into the strawberry fields where Wind River was going to build. And I thought that was county over there. Does the city of Reading own county property also?
No, so that is that was an easement that we sold for a driveway to a house that's down there in that area. But no, it's not. It's right at the edge of the city limits, so it's not within county property. But it's pretty close. So right there at the border. And, yep, that was an easement to create a driveway for a home that's been in that area for a very long time.
Okay, I understand. Thank you. And I look forward to another 4 years of your leadership, Adam. Have a great day.
Thank you, sir.
And thank you, Nick. You know, I do have to mention, Nick, I'm not feeling the love. I thought I was going to get picked on a little bit here, too, not just Adam. But we'll save that for next time. And I do know, yeah, certainly the city does own little slivers of property, easements, wedges, little spots all over in areas of town, sometimes out of town, just outside city limits. I mean, for various purposes over the years. I know there's been a lot too out by the airport and some other spots. And in terms of the fire mitigation efforts, I think a number of us have seen the SWAT team of goats as well that have been, are different areas of town, seen a lot of the other clearing and some of the things going on. And certainly I can tell the city's being proactive on that. I wanted to volunteer to do the, some of the clearing because I can do a lot of damage with a D8 cat, but they wouldn't let me do that because frankly I do a lot of damage with a D8 cat. So anyway, And with that, Adam, I in terms of talking about some things that are citywide, you know, you can talk about the fire mitigation efforts. We talked about some of the other, before the break, we're talking about some of the other projects and things going on downtown, and going on through the rest of town. I mean, what, you guys make any kind of calculation in terms of the investment, just the overall economic investment coming into Reading right now?
Yes, so we've certainly looked at that, and right now, and it may be higher than this now, but we're looking at $700 million of investment citywide, about $300 million downtown. The downtown investment, though, a big chunk of that, about half of that, is the courthouse. So there are a tremendous amount of projects happening. There's more interest all the time for new projects. And so Reading's experiencing a lot of growth right now. There are more and more new residential homes being built. Just in the last couple months, we've seen a real, real resurgence of single home buys, and a lot of people coming from the Bay Area. Especially right now, we're starting to see businesses move here from the Bay Area that are interested in living, I guess, someplace maybe where they don't have to deal with the strictness of what happens during a pandemic, a lot of the crime and things that are happening in the bigger cities right now. So people want to move to a city like Reading where they can rely on our police department, where they can perhaps have a little bit more space than they do within the city. So a lot of this development, though, started before the pandemic, most of it, but we're still seeing quite a bit of growth within the city, and really more than we've seen in, 20 or 25 years. So it's very exciting to see the growth. And it looks like that's going to continue, and hopefully the pandemic is temporary. We're hoping that we get through this as quickly as we can, so that we can begin recovery and see the benefits of all this investment. So it's really exciting, because it's exciting for me personally, because I started going to city council meetings in 2006 and really witnessed, during the recession, the Great Recession, sort of the bottom falling out of the economy and the city really going into a contraction mode for several years. And that's not fun for anyone. It's a real struggle. That's when we had to lay off police officers. We had to lay off firefighters. I feel really grateful to get to be on the council during growth. Because it's really exciting to watch the changes. It's exciting to see how, see the investors come in. And that's something that we really worked on starting 4 years ago, was changing the mentality in Reading, and that we're open for business. And we lowered our permit fees. We streamlined the regulations as far as getting approval on projects. So we made some really significant changes in how we do things, and really really promoted that open for business mentality, and you're seeing the benefits of that now.
Well, and speaking of that, in terms of contractions versus expansion economically, and really looking at those two, certainly everybody's fear with COVID and everything that's going on right now is that we may be looking at contracting times. Certainly we've got a lot of momentum here in Reading, but some of this has also been strategic. And one of the things I wanted to ask you about today is your internet utility initiative that you've been putting forward and really working on since day one, since you got elected, and hasn't always gotten a ton of local press, but again, we can talk about growth and development, but it's the quality of it. Can you give us a little bit of an update on that project?
Yeah, absolutely. So that is something, we've been working on for, I would say, about 2.5 years. Obviously, we were delayed by the car fire for quite a while, and then a little bit here from the pandemic. But we finished our master broadband plan in March for the entire city. And so we'd hired a consultant to put that document together. And then we brought that to the city council at the first meeting in June. It was approved along with the first two phases of the plan. And there's four phases total. The first phase is that we approved building out the largest municipal fiber ring in the state of California. So we're putting a very, very large fiber ring around the city. And that is essentially the backbone of the infrastructure. We also approved phase two in June, and phase two is hooking up all the city-owned properties to the network, and including other potential stakeholders like the Office of Education, other government agencies, hospitals potentially. So the big institutions want access to this network as well. Phase three is the pilot phase that I've talked about so much, where we offer it to customers, business and residential. And we are performing the engineering on that so that we have exact costs. And that will likely be back this fall to approve and apply for grant money to get that pilot phase, the infrastructure costs of that pilot phase paid for through economic development grants. And then phase four, of course, is the citywide build-out. And we're still exploring the options there, but we're doing the engineering for the entire city now so that we'll have a more precise cost of what it's going to be to put that infrastructure in citywide. So I'm very excited. You know, this happened at the meeting in June. The council was literally watching a protest forming in front of the council chambers while we were deliberating on this. So there wasn't much discussion, and it didn't get much news coverage, but it was a huge, huge step for Reading.
No, absolutely. Yeah, no, it is, and that's why I want to get in a little bit further after the break in terms of the why we're doing this and the benefits we're going to see of this from the city. So, wonderful. And with that, we'll go ahead and take a short break here again. Cameron Middleton along with Mayor Adam McElvain on KCNR 96.5 and 1460 AM.
Explore your world right from home with Turtle Bay TV.
Daintree is a jungle carpet python.
Featuring free educational and distance learning content for a virtual experience the whole family will enjoy.
Welcome to the vault.
Start streaming now at turtlebay.org.
Recently, my very good friend, Reverge Anselmo, donated a very large amount of money to my campaign. In fact, history-making. Anselmo came to this county a few years ago with one thing in mind, to spare no expense and build the finest restaurant and winery. But after the county resource manager consistently harassed him, embarrassed him, and overregulated him to the point he left this county never to return. I can't do anything for Mr. Anselmo now, but I vow to stop this type of corruption from happening to others. I'm Patrick Henry Jones, and yes, I'll spend every penny of that donation, paid for by the committee to elect Patrick Henry Jones, Supervisor District 4.
Experience the one and only luxury Cadillac Escalade ESV.
Play our cash and Cadillac swipe to win promotion.
Swipe daily for free slot play and prizes.
Weekly drawings Thursdays at 7, 8, and 9 p.m.
Winners receive bonus entries into the final drawing.
Grand prize drawing Thursday, October 29th.
Win a one-of-a-kind 2020 Cadillac Escalade ESV.
A legend reimagined with an exceptional design made for your comfort. Details at WinRiver.com. You win at Wind River Resort and Casino.
Hi, this is Chuck Kenny with Shasta Gas Propane. Shasta Gas has been in business for 23 years, and my daughter, Karen, has worked here for 22 of those years. She started out driving our big delivery truck, filling tanks when it was 110 degrees in the summer and in the snow in the winter. Many years ago, she moved from delivery and field work to the office with my wife, Judy. Judy is retired, and now Karen is taking over her responsibilities. To further our commitment to locally owned and family operated businesses in Shasta County, I'm introducing my daughter Karen to you, so if you call the office and I'm not here, ask for her or her husband Jason. Karen, please say hi.
Hi, this is Karen Wehunt, Chuck's daughter. Since Chuck and Judy are spending more time together outside of the business, my husband Jason and I are here holding down the fort. We are here to answer any questions you may have and to continue the great service our customers have received these many years. Please give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Turtle Bay Exploration Park is open for safe, outdoor fun, play, and discovery. With towering playgrounds, exciting animal shows, our unique parrot playhouse, interactive games, and more, a day at Paul Bunyan's Forest Camp is sure to keep the whole family entertained. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
Good morning again. Cameron Middleton here, filling in for Carl and Linda, KCNR. Free Fire Radio, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. And again, we have, for those of us just joining in, Mayor Adam McElvain, Mayor of the City of Reading with us this morning. And Adam, before the break, we were talking about this, the internet utility. And you laid out a lot of these steps. You laid out a lot of what the phases are. Tell us why we're doing this. What's the benefit to the city? What does this provide?
Well, this is something that I've considered for a long time because our electric utility is a tremendous benefit to both businesses and residents and has been for 100 years in Reading. It saves us a lot of money. It gives us local control. When you have a problem with utility, as many problems as people have, you can go down and you can and grab a council member and say, hey, here's my problem. You can't do that with a company like PG&E.
Yeah, certainly not.
So you do have access, even though sometimes, you know, when you have 42,000 customers, there's going to be issues here and there. But overall, the utility is great, reliable, and cheap power. So that I saw that opportunity. We could do the same thing with the internet and provide a much higher level of service at a much lower cost. The benefits, though, of an internet utility are much more multidimensional than the electric utility. But the idea is that, you know, this is the infrastructure of the 21st century economy, bringing high-paying jobs to Reading, creating opportunity for the younger generation to, you know, to find career path. So that they can stay in Reading, you know, so that that opportunity is here, you know, to increase our businesses' competitiveness on the global stage and what they have access to, I think is really important. But it's something that I think if we do it and we do it right and we do it well, it will keep Reading strong for many decades to come. And it'll keep our economy strong. It'll keep our city relevant in much the same way that as, you know, when the interstate was first put in. And the freeway system, you know, you saw the cities that where the freeway went through thrived. And then the cities that were not along the freeway started to diminish. And so I want to make sure that our city is in that position where we're in great shape and that we have a strong economy. And frankly, if we get the network put in that we're, you know, we've been looking at now for about a year and a half, 2 years, you know, we'll have the best network in the state of California. I mean, we'll be on par with South Korea. So it's something that's very exciting for Reading and a huge opportunity for our city that hardly any other cities have this opportunity.
No, absolutely. And I think everyone sees that need in terms of helping out with our local economy and again, sees the momentum that we have. I think one of the, on everybody's mind, though, is, of course, the one primary impediment we seem to have around here locally in terms of growth and quality of life is again some of the crime and transient problems and things that we have in particular downtown. And as somebody that works downtown, you know, certainly we see it's not the downtown it was, you know, 10, 15, 20 years ago in terms of just the crime that we have down there and really I think the question on everybody's mind is what can we do to clean up downtown and what can we do to make it a safe, inviting place? We're investing all this money. What can we do to clean it up?
Well, that's something that's a big concern of mine, and I know that it's a concern, I think, generally of the council. And we definitely want to, you know, with the investment that we're seeing, with the transformation that we're seeing, we really want to work on that. And I think one of the things, you know, in the next week or two here, for several months, we've been working on opening a substation, a police substation in the downtown. And we've actually got that all lined up, and it looks like that's going to open here in the next week or two. So that's very, very exciting, and that means that we will have officers down here on a permanent basis. We will have a much stronger police presence, especially in the areas by the post office, and, you know, where the downtown parking garage used to be. And so I think that will help mitigate some of that, and that's our goal. So I am excited about that, and, you know, we have the electric bicycles, and so we will have a much stronger and more consistent police presence in the downtown, and they'll be close. If there are any issues, the police will be very close.
Well, and certainly with those electric bikes that they now have, it's pretty interesting. Got to see those in action here about a month ago, and you don't hear them coming. You all of a sudden you're turning around, next thing you know, there's one of those right behind you, and you never even heard it pull up on you. And of course, they've got a lot of speed, they've got some mojo to them, no question.
Yeah, and it's so I think that's a big step, and hopefully that will show results. And I know that our police department is excited about that and excited to be able to bring that new service to the downtown, that new level of service. So we're working on that, and you know, we're continuing to add officers. We're looking at we've been working with the you know, we have many other mental health initiatives, but the mobile mental health crisis unit, we've been working with them. That's been going exceptionally well, and we're now looking at doing a joint project with other agencies where we have a mental health unit where we have officers that are responding specifically to mental health calls. So I think that's very important. I think that's a good component. You know, 100% of our officers now are trained in the crisis intervention management. So 100% of our officers go through that training. And currently we are fully trained. But having a few officers that are focused just on mental health, I think would be very helpful. We've got the CSO program back in place, so we're actually making almost as many proactive calls as we used to.
And remind the listeners what the CSO program is.
That's our community service officer program. So those are officers that aren't sworn officers, but they can file reports. They do a lot of the administrative work. And so that's the thing that people need to understand now, too, is we're in a different spot than we were a couple years ago. And I've heard people say, you know, if they lose, you know, somebody steals their bike or breaks into their car, they don't want to call the police because they don't think anyone's going to show up. That's not true anymore. We are incredibly proactive. We have people standing by that will take your calls. So we want to make sure that people are calling the police department if there is an issue, because we will respond, and we will respond quickly. And so I think that's a big change. And our response times have gone way down. Our priority one calls have been cut in half over the last 4 years. So that's very significant. And it's a huge improvement. I don't know if people have felt that yet. Obviously, COVID caused a dip in some of our statistics just because of the nature of the pandemic. But we're getting back to where we were. And, you know, the police department's there when you call. And we will come. We have had our response times have gone way down.
And, you know, and certainly this is something to, it's good to hear that you're getting ahead of and trying to make some forward progress on. It's like anything else. We're still dealing with Sacramento on so much of this in terms of the headwinds. You know, I see we have more prisoner releases that are being, you know, that have occurred and are being put forth by the governor. And so certainly in Reading here to be making some of those strides is tremendous. And to see a cut in response times by half, that's pretty substantial. And that neighborhood protection unit is, I take it, still probably a big factor in that as well.
Yeah, they are a proactive policing unit. They focus on specific assignments and can move around. So they're a part of that. But it's you know, We've got great, great men and women on our police force, and they've been doing an outstanding job, and I think it's important to stand with them and show your support. And frankly, I'm very grateful to be in a city that values their police department.
Outstanding. Mayor Adam McElvain, thank you very much for coming on with us this morning. Good luck to you at the City of Reading moving forward, and hopefully we can have you on again here soon.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Rich Thomason. The nation's new Postmaster General on the Capitol Hill hot seat this morning, Post Office Chief Louis DeJoy, testifying virtually before a Senate committee amid the uproar over mail-in voting. DeJoy assuring senators Postal Service fully capable and committed to delivering the nation's election mail securely and on time.
This sacred duty is my number one priority between now and Election Day.
DeJoy says an election committee within the Postal Service is undergoing an expansion as the post office plans for mail-in voting. It's another sign of an economy on the rebound, a sharp rise in used home sales. The National Association of Realtors reports that existing home sales soared 24.7% last month, surpassing June's record-setting pace. Home purchases now up 8.7% from a year ago. In the face of withering criticism from Democrats during their virtual convention, President Trump says he's quite proud of the record he's compiled during his first term, a record of achievement that comes despite numerous roadblocks thrown in his path.
We've secured our borders, brought back our manufacturing jobs, rebuilt our military, wiped out the ISIS caliphate 100%, killed our terrorist enemies, achieved American energy independence. And guess what? We're just getting started. That's just a small part of it.
The president speaking at a rally in northeast Pennsylvania yesterday. The Republican National Convention will be getting underway on Monday. It will run through Thursday. Laura, that's the name given to the latest tropical storm that has formed out in the Atlantic, the latest in what has become a very active storm season. Stocks in positive territory on Wall Street, the Dow up 64 points, the NASDAQ 46 points higher. More on these stories at townhall.com.
For more than 20 years, investigative filmmaker Tim Mahoney has traveled across the globe in search of patterns of evidence to support some of the Old Testament's most miraculous events. Now, with the Red Sea Miracle Part 2, Journey to Egypt and Beyond, as Tim interviews some of the world's foremost experts to discover the truth. Is there evidence of how and where the host of Israelites could have traveled as recorded in the Bible? Is there evidence of the Egyptian army's demise in the Red Sea? If you've seen the first part of this investigation of the Red Sea Miracle, you won't want to miss the continuation. The results of his pursuits are faith-affirming and fascinating. You must see Patterns of Evidence, the Red Sea Miracle Part 2. To see this powerful documentary and others in the series, go to salemnow.com and use the promo code MOVIE for 20% off. That's salemnow.com, promo code MOVIE. MOVIE for 20% off.
Family and friends of Russian opposition leader Alexei Navalny fighting to get him moved from a Siberian hospital to a German clinic amid allegations that he was poisoned by the Kremlin.
Navalny, a 44-year-old politician who is one of President Vladimir Putin's fiercest critics, has been admitted to an intensive care unit in a coma in the Siberian city of Omsk, following what his supporters are calling a suspected poisoning that they believe was engineered by the Kremlin. A plane with German specialists and all the necessary equipment has landed at Omsk Airport, prepared to take Navalny to a clinic in Berlin, but doctors at the hospital say his condition is too unstable to transport him. I'm Zaria Shakli.
The Israeli military says Palestinian terrorists fired a dozen rockets at Israel from the Gaza Strip overnight, 9 of those rockets intercepted. The military says it responded to the attack with several airstrikes on targets linked to Hamas. News and analysis at townhall.com. American Airlines planning to drop flights to 15 smaller American cities.
The scheduled cuts come in October when a federal requirement to serve those communities expires. American says it will consider other changes unless the federal government provides more money to the embattled airline industry. The decision appears designed to put pressure on Congress and the Trump administration to approve another $25 billion in relief for passenger airlines, which have seen traffic plummet during the pandemic. Americans already received $5.8 billion and has applied for an additional federal loan of $4.9 billion. Rhonda Rockster reporting.
A 74-year-old former police officer, the notorious Golden State Killer, faces multiple consecutive life prison sentences today. Joseph DeAngelo pleaded guilty in June to 13 murders and 13 rape-related charges stemming from crimes in the 1970s and 80s. The plea deal spares him a death sentence. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning. This is Cameron Middleton filling in for Carl and Linda Bott this morning on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, Your Talk Radio. And I think we should touch on it one more time, and let's see how the weather is faring for us this morning. Jared?
It is currently 63 degrees here downtown. Today it's obviously smoky. We have a high of 98, a low of 67. Tomorrow it's going to be a little smoky, then sunny, with a high of 101, a low of 67. Sunday, we have a high of 101, a low of 69. And on Monday, we have a chance of thunderstorms with a high of 101 and a low of 67.
Excellent, Jared. Thank you very much. Yeah, I think a lot of us are noticing the ash on our cars this morning. If you haven't ventured out to your vehicle yet, make sure you stand away from the car when you open that door handle. The ash seemed to come flying at me this morning, and boy, couldn't even see the sun through the smoke. It's getting pretty severe out there. So wanted to introduce our guest this morning. It is the third Friday of the month, and so House of Realty is here with us. I'm being one of the two guests this morning, but my father, Bruce Middleton, with House of Realty, one of the co-owners, is here with us as well, and to discuss some of the happenings with the real estate, property, land, and housing market here in Redding and Shasta County. Good morning, Dad.
Good morning, son. I've been listening to the last hour. You're doing a great job filling in for Carl and Linda. Yeah, I enjoyed the segment with the Haven Humane. I don't see the dog, but anyway, it was enjoyable.
Well, and luckily my wife and son were still asleep, I think, so hopefully they weren't asking me to bring that dog back home. I know they've brought that up consistently around the house lately.
They called me and told me to pick him up and deliver him.
Good thing you didn't get here till late. So, yeah, we dodged a bullet on that one. Yeah, I wanted to go over this morning certainly some of the things going on with the housing market. When we were on about 3-4 months ago, we really didn't know what was going to happen with the local market in terms of real estate. Certainly everyone thought with rising unemployment and with substantial job losses, businesses struggling, everything else, that we may have seen a real downturn in our housing market. Of course, we've seen exactly the opposite, something no, I don't think any of us really predicted, and wanted to get your opinion on what's happening with that market, give the listeners a bit of an update.
Well, 3, 4, 5 months ago, that was certainly the fear, that the market would slow down considerably, but I think as rates continued to drop, it made it more affordable for first-time buyers, and investors jumped in. And what we found out now 4 or 5 months later is we have a serious lack of inventory, and it doesn't seem to be getting any better. Home starts are good, but it takes a while for that, you know, for that segment to get built out and get on the market. Yeah, I think we're around 500 listings or so for multiple right now as we speak.
Yeah, 508 looks like at the moment.
I can remember, and I was mentioning to Rob that, you know, I remember 2,200, 2,300 listings, and he recalled when we had 2,400 at one time. So 500 is certainly low. I'm starting to see shades of 2006, when panic buying occurred. It's that mindset that if we don't make an offer today, we're going to lose the house. Somebody else is going to buy it. So we're seeing a lot of multiple offers on homes, especially the lower the price, the more offers. People are getting outbid and getting frustrated. And, you know, we've heard stories of people making bids on 8 or 10 different homes and still haven't been able to get one into escrow. A number of the properties are selling above list price. And we had one recently where it was $40,000 higher than list price. It was a cash offer, so an appraisal wasn't required. But you get into that kind of market, you wonder how long that can hold. I can remember back in 2006 and 2007 dealing with some younger clientele and asking me what I thought. And I said, well, I don't want to talk myself out of a commission, but I'm going to tell you, these prices cannot hold. And I think consequently, a couple of years later, we were 50% of what those homes were selling for, and we're not quite back up to that level yet. We're certainly getting close now. The projections then were we wouldn't see 2006 prices to 2024. And I think we're nearing that now. No one anticipated this market.
Well, I don't want to bore everyone with statistics, but that 500 number that you're talking about, and just to give everybody an idea, we're referring to all of the listings, residential listings, on the Shasta Multiple Listing Service. Now, keep in mind, some of those are scattered out throughout the county. About 50 of those are actually ones that are just in Tehama County. So if you really take the, what I call the center mass of population in Shasta County, so going from Lake Shasta to the north, down to the county line in Cottonwood to the south, east to Millville and west out to Whiskeytown Lake, we've only got 300 homes on the market in what would be considered the greater Reading area. So, and that's a tremendously low inventory, certainly in record territory. And I think as we get into those kind of numbers, it's very easy to see that you're going to have a lot of competition for those houses. And in terms of the actual city limits of Reading, there's only about 180 homes. So, and that's everything from houses that are, you know, maybe you're going to find one down there for the low of, say, $90,000, something like that, all the way up to probably, you know, $2 million houses. So that includes everything in that range. I think the other thing that we're seeing as well is that it's really in the lower ranges. So if you're talking about something under 200 or under 300, even under 300,000, that's a very, very small number. You're really not looking at many houses at all. And so the competition out there is certainly extreme. I think the other part is the demand factor. You know, with the rates being as low as they are, and certainly we're seeing people that are moving from other areas coming up here. I know I got a call from a gentleman in Danville yesterday who wants to come up and see a house, which is, for those that aren't familiar, is in the kind of Eastern Bay Area. And he's coming up to look at a house in Old Shasta and wants to find something and get out of the city life, get out of the more urban areas and come up here. And we're certainly seeing an influx of that and people coming even from Southern California as well.
Yeah, we're definitely seeing that influx. Over the years, as that Bay Area market softened, we would get people coming up here and with huge equities. And it always amused me that they wanted to know what was wrong with our homes. I think they thought the San Andreas Fault was up here. They couldn't believe what our pricing was. Yeah, the difference now, I can remember, you know, years ago, I've been doing this a long time, but somebody would call me and say, I want to buy something on the west side. I'm looking for 2,000 square feet, you know, 4-bedroom with a pool. And I'd call them back and say, okay, come by in the morning, and I have 7 of them lined up, and we'll go look at them. Now, if they call with that kind of a request, I'll tell them that as soon as I see something come onto the market, we'll go take a look at it. Of course, by the time we get there, there's 3 other realtors with clients waiting to get in. And, you know, the whole market shifted that way. But you take 2,300 listings versus 500, and that's exactly what happens. I think the other thing that we're finding is there's no longer such a thing as a 30-day escrow unless it's cash. The title companies are absolutely swamped. I know some of them have been trying to lure recent retirees back to work. They don't have time to train people, and they're just, with the refinancing and as quickly as homes are selling, I think the other day there were 700 pending sales. They are just absolutely swamped. They can't get to it. Preliminary title reports take longer. Lenders are swamped. They're not getting things done in a timely fashion. Also, if you're buying a home and they're going to have a home inspection and a pest inspection, and most of those guys that do the inspections are 2 to 3 weeks out. And then in the event, then you get a couple of days to get the report. And then if there's work that needs to be done, they're 2 weeks out on that. So realistically, 45 days, but not all are being done in 45 days. So we're seeing offers 60 days, and that was kind of unheard of not long ago, but it's almost become the norm now.
No, absolutely, and I think that's important to set that expectation out there for both buyers and sellers. And if you're looking to get a little work done on your house before you put it on the market, start looking for that contractor now. We're finding contractors, handymen, anybody out there are really behind. They just are busy as can be. They have a tremendous backlog of work. And so some people think, hey, I'm going to call somebody to come out and fix this tomorrow and get the rest of it done on Monday. That's really not going to work. So we will return here after a short break. And again, we have Bruce Middleton in here with us this morning with House of Realty. And again, KCNR 96.5 and 1460 AM. Thank you.
Dialed in, check, showtime for Armstrong and Getty.
That's right. Join us 9 to 12, KCNR Mornings.
Premier, your friendly oil change. Premier in all we do.
At Premier Oil Change, you can be assured that our highly trained staff will take great care of you and your vehicle, from your air pressure to your windshield wipers and everything in between. We make it easy for you with our quick, convenient drive-through service. No appointment necessary. You just drive right in. We also perform our comprehensive 30-point certified service. You're offered a free beverage to enjoy and free Wi-Fi. Earn points towards free products and services with Premier Rewards Program. Use Premier Services to maintain your new car warranty. Now that's a win-win. Drive in today. Learn more at PremierOilChange.com or visit us in Palo Cedro, located in the Holiday Market Shopping Center, or in Redding on Lake Boulevard, next to Waterworks Park, or our newest location in Anderson, across from Roundtable Pizza. All three locations, you get a free car wash with every oil change. Premier Oil Change, home of the friendly oil change.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6.05 p.m., right after the news, for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
Dr. Farrell in Palisadro is now making dental work more affordable by offering a Dental Discount Savings Plan annual membership. The Dental Discount Savings Plan is simple, straightforward, and includes 20% off all treatment, such as emergency limited exams, restorative work, fillings, crowns, partials, bridges, dentures, and periodontal treatment, a comprehensive exam, oral cancer screening, a TMJ exam, a periodic exam, and two sets of x-rays, along with cleaning and two fluoride treatments. The program is a discount plan, not a dental insurance plan, and is only available at the office of Dr. Farrell. The Dental Discount Savings Plan annual membership provides immediate eligibility. No yearly maximum, no deductibles, no claims to submit, no limitations for pre-existing treatment, and no waiting periods. Children on the plan must be 15 years or younger. Some restrictions apply. Membership prices may vary. Contact Dr. Farrell, located at 9461 Deschutes Road, Suite 2 in Palisadro. Call 547-57 to make an appointment today. That's 547-5757.
Tune in to North State Now Thursday nights at 6 p.m. on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Our show features yours truly, Linda Bott, with Michelle Slade, Enjoy the Magazine, and Dr. Orna Gill, featuring music, art, health, wellness, shopping, and more.
Good morning and welcome back to KCNR, 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, your talk radio. We have Bruce Middleton with us with House of Realty. And again, this is Cameron Middleton filling in for Carl and Linda this morning and doing our House of Realty Hour to really discuss all the latest topics and issues going on with the local real estate market. Dad, wanted to ask you as well here, certainly one of the major issues that's going on in real estate right now isn't just necessarily the buying and selling of the single family homes, but rentals and the rental market, what's going on in terms of COVID, rents and evictions. There's moratoriums that are out there that are starting to expire. We've got legislation pending. We've got ballots on in November. What are you seeing right now with regards to the rental market?
Well, currently there's a very low vacancy rate. I think one of the main issues we're looking at is, you're right, there have been moratoriums on evictions, and I see in a lot of areas that those are expiring. And, you know, there's no telling whether those will be, given another 3 months or 6 months or whatever. You can't just, the number of renters that aren't being able to pay rent, you know, it's huge nationwide. But also you have landlords that are dependent upon the rent to make their mortgage. So it's kind of a two-edged sword. Locally, I'm not sure. I know there are evictions set to go. A lot of the landlords are working with people. They're not forgiving the rent. They're trying to, you know, work out a payment schedule. Commercial hasn't been too bad. There for a short period of time when the COVID really got started, there was so much uncertainty. But I think the PPP money, allowed a lot of people to get caught up. But I know there are landlords right now that are having problems. They need that cash flow for them to survive. So, and I don't see, you know, the rental market weakening as far as demand. But God only knows what's going to happen if people start getting evicted. I have no idea where they're going to go. That $600 a week added unemployment, that went by the wayside at the end of July. So that's put a lot of people in a bind. Certainly we have a homeless issue right now, but it could get a lot worse. We're kind of waiting on that to find out if there are going to be extensions and what's going to happen. It's pretty uncertain. Rents are considerably higher than they were, you know, 4, 5, 6, 7 years ago. With Bethel students coming in annually to the tune of 2,000 or so, the rental market, basically the rates in the last 10 years have doubled. homes that used to rent for $800-$900 a month or $1,600-$1,800, and they're in demand. We have quite a few at our office, and I'm not sure. And, you know, we have one or two vacancies a month, but they're generally filled before the previous tenants even evacuate.
Well, and I know one of the critical issues as well is supply and having the supply of rental units. Again, we talked about how we're able to, you know, we're seeing some new housing starts. I know we're starting to see some, as vice chairman of the City Planning Commission, we have been approving some new affordable housing units here within the last, say, 6 months. One of the larger projects is out on Lake Boulevard. That's well over 100 units. That's both affordable housing and senior housing. We've got some of the units coming on here downtown and that are coming online. There'll be another 100 with the Block 7 project. The Market Street project is also putting in dozens and dozens of units. So I think for our area, having that supply of the affordable housing is absolutely critical. One of the things that we have watched very closely in this area and really statewide is rent control. And to give the listeners a little background in terms of what's happened recently, there was a proposition on the last ballot in 2018, and that was to basically get rid of and eliminate what's called the Costa-Hawkins Bill, the Costa-Hawkins Act, and that is what basically puts limitations on cities in the state of California in terms of how and if they can implement rent control. So they tried to repeal in 2018, and that failed by a fairly substantial margin, as I recall. And the let's see if I can find that on here, but that was a pretty substantial margin. What the state legislature and the governor did was said, hey, okay, if they're going to bring this again and perhaps something even more restrictive in 2020, we would want to do a compromise and we want to pass some legislation here through the Assembly and the Senate, have it signed by the governor so that this doesn't come back on the ballot in 2020. So they did, and they implemented rent control statewide and put a cap of 5% increases plus inflation, which generally speaking, the index that they use is 2 to 3%. So call it 8% a year. And they implemented that rent control in order, and there are some exemptions, single family houses, et cetera, but that was really the compromise that was made. And then, of course, the group that put on the ballot measure in 2018 said, okay, well, thank you for doing at least that much. We're still going to put on a ballot measure in 2020. So that ballot measure, this particular cycle coming up here in November, is Proposition 21 on the California state ballot. And what that does, again, is do a repeal of the Costa-Hawkins Act and really allows for cities to do much more substantial rent control and try and implement that throughout their local jurisdiction. But, of course, I think what we have seen here statewide and in various other cities and places that have tried rent control in the state of California is that it does not work.
I believe rent control started in the early 90s in Berkeley. And California Association of Realtors has been tracking that since that period. And they've concluded long ago that rent control does not work. The only real solution is more housing, supply. And I will say, Redding's never seen a period like what we're experiencing right now. There is a tremendous amount of subsidized housing being built. And I think that's mandated by the state that everybody has to do a certain amount. But, yeah, there's a number of projects that are under construction, that are soon to be under construction, that will help alleviate that problem. But when you have rent control, there's not a lot of incentive to build new supply if you're limited to what you can rent those for. And, you know, right now, you know, for instance, fourplex, if you want to build a fourplex, the fees, permits, and hookups are in six figures. Now, I can remember 30, 35 years ago, we were selling fourplexes for $150,000. And, you know, we're getting to the point where that's going to be the fee schedule. And then you project your building costs, what you're going to be able to rent those for, work it backwards, and what you have to pay for the land. It doesn't pencil. And if rent control comes about, that's going to further that problem. It's just, you know, the California Association of Realtors has been in existence for many years, and they know what they're talking about, and rent control does not work.
Well, and I think there are some other things that the state is looking at, the local city and county officials are looking at to try and increase that supply. If we have enough rental units, not so much of a problem. I think the other issue that we're running into constantly with something like rent control is that may work for you if you're currently in your own place and don't have to move or leave that unit for any reason. The problem becomes the moment, for whatever reason, you have to move, you have to go somewhere else. You're now in a difficult position. You're having to pay a much higher rent in a rent-controlled area than you otherwise would have been able to do. And then there's virtually no incentive for anybody to ever build any more of these, which is why we have such a glut of housing units here within the state of California. With that, we're going to take a quick break and come back and address a couple of these issues when we return. So a short break here. Thank you, Jared. KCNR, 96.5 FM, 1460 AM. 605-4567. Thank you.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
You always wanted to finish your degree. Now is the time, and Simpson University is still open. Our adult degree completion program is flexible, convenient, and affordable. We know you are busy, so you can attend classes here in the Reading area or online and finish your bachelor's degree in as little as 12 to 16 months. Our programs are affordable, convenient, and flexible. Classes are beginning soon. To learn more about how to finish your degree and advance your career, go to simpson.edu or call 530-226-4606.
Remodeled kitchen, bathroom, or backyard patio? There's a lot of choices, but only one leader, Estate Granite.
Mike Huber has such a professional attitude and a can-do work ethic that makes him a joy to work with. Mike and his crew worked to have our new kitchen finished in 5 days. We came back to a true work of art.
Hi, this is Brian Salato, broker and co-owner of the Real Estate Group. In today's competitive market, I think what's important is that the house is dialed in and turnkey. And what's important is that the kitchen has been renovated, the bathrooms have been renovated, granite, beautiful cabinetry. Those things make a significant difference.
Mike at Estate Granite has an eye for detail, an attention to perfection, and a quality build crew that are masters of their craft. Mike was there from start to finish.
Hi, this is Mike from Estate Granite. I know how important quality to a homeowner is, so give me a call at 241-STONE or come by our showroom at 4900 Mountain Lakes Boulevard or visit us at estategranite.com.
Aloha, this is Kevin, operations manager at Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. A professionally cleaned business sends a message to your paying customers. It says you are a company that cares about your image and always presenting the very best impression. Time after time, I've talked to clients who shopped for the lowest price and after a few months realized that their professional image was suffering. They didn't know who was actually coming into their offices to do the cleaning, and they just weren't getting the value they were paying for. Be wary of big-name companies that take your money, then hire unknown contractors to do the work. Since 1987, Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, your local professionals, have been offering the best in office cleaning by our screened, bonded, and insured staff. Take pride in your business and say aloha to your customers with the professional cleaning services from Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. Call 221-5868. 221-5868. 5868, MauiBob'sOfficeCleaning.com.
Home Helpers of Reading is now hiring. They are a home care agency who provide non-medical home care services for seniors in our community and are looking to add to their award-winning team of caregivers. If you're interested in flexible hours with opportunities for full or part-time work, we invite you to apply to join the Home Helpers team. Apply today online at readinghomehelpers.com or drop off your resume at 2620 Lexmer Lane. Reading Home Helpers, serving our community for 16 years, and we look forward to meeting you.
Good morning. Thank you for being back with KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Phone number here today, 605-4567. Wanted to, again, reintroduce our guest, Bruce Middleton with House of Realty. This is Cameron Middleton, his son. I'm filling in today for Carl and Linda Bott, who are on some sort of vacation. We still have not been able to locate them, but we've got a chopper in the air right now trying to see if we can locate them. One of the things we were talking about here, were some of the propositions and some of the legislation coming through regarding the real estate market and here in the state of California. And we covered Prop 21, which is the rent control bill coming up. But I think the other one that really is even being more closely analyzed and watched here in the state that'll be on the November ballot is Prop 15. And Prop 15 is also commonly referred to as the split roll. And essentially what it will do is remove the Prop 13 protections from commercial and industrial property in the state of California. And I think, again, something we've watched closely here, both at the local Association of Realtors and also our California Association of Realtors is watching quite closely, because there, in terms of unintended consequences here, there, it, is probably going to be very substantial in terms of its negative effects on the economy. And I think one of the things that people often have a misconception about with regards to Prop 15 is that, okay, this is just going to affect major corporations. It's just going to affect Chevron or Disney or some other major companies, and it's not really going to affect us here at the ground level. And of course, our analysis, as we've really looked at this closely, is that that's not the case. We're certainly going to see some type of effect. And didn't know if you might be able to enlighten us. You've been doing commercial and industrial real estate for close to 40 years, and just curious as to your thoughts.
Well, you know, I understand where they're coming from, and everything's about revenue. And you get a large corporation of Apple buys somebody out, and it includes the real estate. The way they structure it, there's not basically a sale of the real estate. It comes in a package, and so that property is not reassessed. And, you know, and that could be a $100 million property or something. And I think that's what they're looking at. However, the way it's structured, it affects everybody that owns any commercial or industrial property. If you have, you own a commercial building and you bought it 30 years ago, you're still taxed accordingly by Prop 13. In the event of a sale, then it is reassessed, and then that tax rate is based on the new purchase price. In this situation, they would go ahead and reassess properties. They don't have to be sold to today's market value, which would increase the taxes considerably. Something that's 20 years, 30 years that you've owned it could easily triple or even go higher in certain areas. The problem with that is then, okay, the owner of the building is going to have to recoup that somehow. So who's he going to look to? The tenants. And we already have an issue now with COVID. You know, a lot of these restaurants are going down. There's certain businesses that are closing. You look in the Bay Area, Willie Brown writes a column every Sunday, and he says he takes his walks. And there are whole blocks that are basically shut down. office space, retail space. You know, they just can't make it right now. So you have a lot of vacancy factor. What would happen is if this were to pass, you would create a tremendous amount of vacancy factor. If that's passed on, the tenant can't pay that additional rent. And also, then you're going to end up with foreclosures. You know, where they started with this, the large corporations and the big pieces. Now, I understand they're talking about putting a limit. Anything under a certain number may not apply. But this also deals with, you know, multi-apartment buildings are also considered commercial. And so, you know, once again, the rents would have to go up to offset that expense. So there's a lot of ramifications here. And to me, the way it's structured and written, it would be a death blow in real estate.
Well, and to touch on some of those exemptions, primarily the two exemptions that are referred to, the first one is commercial agriculture. So agricultural property that is deemed commercial, it's a true agricultural nature, it's being produced, this will not apply to in most cases. The other one is there is a $3 million exemption, and oftentimes people think, okay, so I this isn't really going to affect me because the building that I'm a tenant in is not a $3 million building. The problem is, and again, this has to do with the intent of the law, is they want to go after the owners, not so much the building itself. So if that owner happens to own three or four different buildings that total over $3 million, then all of a sudden your building is included. So that's another part of the problem, is you may be in a building that's worth only $500,000, $700,000, and a small three or four tenant building, and you're thinking you're probably okay, but you don't know how much other real estate the owner of that building has. And so if this is someone that over 30, 40 years has built up a retirement portfolio of income properties to try and get ready to retire, now all of a sudden they have, just because they own a couple of others that may total them over that $3 million, and they may have bought this building, say they bought it back in 1980. They bought it, you know, 30 or 40 years ago. Now all of a sudden, that tax bill for that particular building could go up 3, 4, 5 times, and then continue to go up every 3 years. And so by seeing those types of increases and trying to either increase those rents on those tenants, everybody thinks, hey, I don't really care if Chevron gets hit with this, but next thing you know, it's your favorite coffee shop down on the corner. It's the place you go to get your haircut. It's your favorite restaurant that you like to go to for lunch. All of a sudden now those businesses are going out of business because their rent had to increase substantially, just due to the fact that there was this tax increase. I think that's where a lot of people are going to start to see that hit. And so are the employees and workers. If those get passed on to a tenant and the tenant then has to figure out how to make that work, maybe they stay open, but they have to lay off a third of their staff. And I think that's the part where we're really seeing, especially with Prop 15, where a lot of these unintended consequences could occur. And it looks certainly something where local agencies and the state agencies see a great big ticket item like this and say, wow, look at all this extra revenue that we're going to get in because of this. But it comes at a price. I think the other portion, too, and this is the analogy I always like to make, people say, well, it's not fair. You got one building that was purchased a couple of years ago and another one that was purchased 40 years ago. And I'm paying all this extra tax. I'm paying off the assessed value when I bought it. They're paying off that assessed value when they bought it with 2% annual increases. But when you look at that, they say it's not fair that I'm paying more property tax than the building next door. And so by doing this Prop 15, I'm essentially subsidizing that other entity, that other taxpayer. The problem I always have with that, I always break it down to simple numbers, that if I'm paying $5 in taxes and you're paying $3 in taxes, So the government gets eight, thinking, okay, that's not fair. I'm subsidizing you. So if we raise your taxes from $3 to $5, now we're both paying $5, but all of a sudden, okay, I'm not subsidizing anybody. If I'm not subsidizing anyone, shouldn't I have come down? My tax rates have come down. And that, of course, is not what's happening here. We're not seeing tax rates come down for anyone. We still have the highest income tax rates in the country. We still have one of the highest sales tax rates overall in the country here in California. And so by increasing those two, we've kept property taxes relatively lower with Prop 13. But now it seems like even property taxes are now going to be going up pretty substantially.
Yeah, you know, when you're looking to buy a building or whatever and you're working the numbers, you project that tax increase, 1.25% of the sales price. So, you know, rents are a lot higher now, and you can analyze it, you know, that way and see if it makes sense to buy it. You look for a cap rate of a certain number, but you figure that tax increase in, but you know, the ones that haven't sold, a lot of those rents are lower because they don't have the high tax basis, so they're going to have to raise those existing rents. And you might have a tenant for 20 years and he's paid like clockwork, and you want to keep him, but all of a sudden you're going to have to double his rent to offset that new expense. And you know, once again, you're going to create more vacancy. I know this is to go to schools and teachers and everything, but it just and they're all for this. The teachers union is, you know, is looking towards getting this passed, and everything's about revenue. But you have to stop and consider what the consequences are.
No, absolutely, and I think in terms of commercial demand and trying, especially with smaller businesses, and making these small businesses try and give them all the tools that we can to recover from COVID and recover, you know, from this massive unemployment we're seeing and so many of the other issues. Certainly, I know the position of the state association is we really need to look at propositions like this and at least put them on pause, if not allow them to pass through at all, especially given the current situation that we have. So, wonderful, and thank you very, very much. We will be back here right after the break, and I believe Mr. Bruce Middleton will be has to head off to an appointment. But thank you very much for being in here, Dad. Do appreciate it, and we will be back next Friday, or pardon me, the next month on the third Friday of the month now for a full hour at House of Realty. 55 years now in the same location. Three generations of real estate. Thank you very much for being on KCNR 96.5 FM 1460 AM.
Life is older than the trees, younger than the mountains, growing like a breeze. Country roads, take me home.
Get your morning update with us.
Armstrong and Getty, 9 to 12 on KCNR.
Hello, I'm Patrick Henry Jones, and I'm running for Supervisor District 4. From 2006 to 2014, I served on the Reading City Council, and most of those years, I also sat on the Indian Gaming Local Community Benefit Committee. Through the Reading Rancheria, we donated millions of dollars to the City of Reading, Shasta County, and many special districts. This much-needed money was allocated for things like the Reading Fire Department's ladder truck, and positions in the Sheriff's Office, and positions in the DA's Office. I'm Patrick Henry Jones, and this is why I support the tribe. Paid for by the committee to elect Patrick Henry Jones, Supervisor. District 4.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide three delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more.
We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
No one plans to visit the emergency room, but when life's accidents happen, you need on-time, first-rate medical attention. Shasta Regional Medical Center, located at 1100 Butte Street in downtown Reading, has the fastest possible transit and admission of emergency patients. We at Shasta Medical Center are dedicated to all patients who need care, regardless of their ability to pay. Shasta Regional Medical Center, delivering patient-centered health care with compassion, dignity, and respect for every patient and their family.
Slow down. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
Tune in to North State Now Thursday nights at 6 p.m. on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Our show features yours truly, Linda Bott, with Michelle Slade, Enjoy the Magazine, and Dr. Orna Gill, featuring music, art, health, wellness, shopping, and more.
1, 2, 3. All right. Thank you and welcome back to KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Jared, good picks on the music all day today. Absolutely 10 for 10. Wanted to continue on here a little bit in terms of talking about continuing the conversation regarding housing, affordable housing, housing supply, the market, what's going on here locally. Housing is something that affects us all and something we all have to, we've all got to have a roof over our heads. And it gets difficult when we have a limited over our heads, as we often see driving around town. We see a number of people that don't have that roof over their head. And one of the things that the state of California has recently really pushed for is something called accessory dwelling units. Oftentimes they're referred to as in-law quarters, granny flats, casitas. There's a number of different names for them. Really kind of varies depending upon where you live throughout the state. But these units oftentimes built in a backyard or with a converted garage, just a smaller unit, a secondary unit on a piece of property, are really being looked at now as something where we can add affordable housing supply without necessarily having to go through all of the expense and all the time and energy of putting up an entire new subdivision or doing a large apartment complex. And so the state of California passed several bills, really four or five of them, last year that went into effect January 1 of this year. And this is something that's caught a number of people off guard, both those looking to do ADUs and those in some cases living in neighborhoods where ADUs are really being put in. And what happened here locally is each city and county, every jurisdiction, municipality, if you will, within the state of California has to go in and adopt an ordinance, a new ordinance for these particular units to be able to put in, so that they've got a zoning ordinance that conforms to state law that they're then able to implement so people can put these in. And on the Planning Commission for the City of Reading, I want to say it was back in about March, we took our first stab at this and put the ADUs into an ordinance, and we're pretty stringent about allowing these ADUs. We had an ordinance before here in Reading, but there were a lot of restrictions. There were minimum lot sizes, substantial setbacks from the back and side property lines. There were parking requirements. So if you're adding people and you're adding a unit, you maybe needed to add some covered parking. That is no longer the case. What the state of California did was said, hey, from here moving forward, CC&Rs are no longer applicable when it comes to restricting ADUs. So this new state law completely overrides CC&Rs. Minimum setbacks are 4 feet from those back property lines. There are no minimum lot sizes. And they expanded the sizes of those ADUs. So what happened here was, in a lot of jurisdictions, when they first put it out and said, yes, these are allowed, but cities and counties can basically make their own rules for these ADUs, there were cities that went in and said, okay, well, this is pretty easy. We're just going to go ahead and mandate a 1,000-square-foot setback or a 1,000-foot setback from the back property line, side property lines, and 2,000 feet from the front property line, which meant no one in any, you know, normal subdivision or anything else would be able to put one of these in. So they could just put in certain rules that basically eliminated them completely. The state went in and saw that this was really impeding the implementation of these ADUs and these in-law quarters and said, nope, enough is enough. We're going to pass new legislation. And now these are going to be allowed everywhere. And this is really important for people to get an idea of, because you may in certain areas see some real transformation within your neighborhood. Keep this in mind. The other one that is also prevalent, and there's a subtle difference between them, but is a junior ADU. So a junior ADU is usually converting a portion of an existing unit into something that has a separate entrance, has what they call an efficiency kitchen, which is just a minor, smaller kitchen that someone can use. It's usually a smaller square footage. The most common type of junior ADU is a garage conversion. Now, if you convert your garage, again, you used to have to be able to put in extra covered parking to make up for that. You no longer have to do that. You don't have to substitute the parking that you're getting rid of. The other part of this was that we had had here locally a mandate that if someone were doing an ADU or a junior ADU, they had to maintain at least the primary residence or the secondary residence as their primary place. They had to live there. That had to be their actual residence on their driver's license. That's no longer the case either. So the potential for this is, if you've got a house in a normal subdivision, you put one and build one of these ADUs in the backyard, and then you convert your garage, you can actually rent out the ADU in the back. You can rent out the garage conversion, and you can rent out your main house. Now, you can't do vacation rentals on any of these. So no short-term rentals, anything under 30 days is prohibited. But you can do month-to-month leases and month-to-month rentals. So by doing this, what you can effectively do is turn your home into a triplex pretty quickly. Now, I don't know that we've got quite the demand here in Reading to be doing that just yet. I mean, obviously, if we turned every single family residence into a triplex here in Reading, we would have to see a tripling of our population. We're not seeing that. Yeah, we're seeing some increased demand, certainly for the housing market. A lot of that's due to low supply. And some of that is just due to some of the other pressures we have on the rental market. But this is something you will most likely be seeing coming forward within your neighborhood. And if it's something that you are looking forward to doing, it's going to be much, much easier. City of Reading is actually going in and putting up five or six pre-approved plans. So you can literally go on and get your permit online. You can get that permit, choose one of the pre-made designs if you like. Help save you substantial money in architecture and engineering costs. Obviously, you can change it, colors, things like that. They want to try and make it, you know, somewhat architecturally compatible to the house that you have. Although, again, the state came back and said and even made some restrictions on that. It's one of the first times where I've seen that, where we actually passed an ordinance in March, sent it back down to the state of California, and then they brought it back to us, I believe it was in July. And in July, they literally said, nope, you need to do this. It's great that you did A, B, and C, but now you actually need to do X, Y, and Z as well. So this is something that the state of California has really made a priority, and something that I think a lot of people are not aware of, hasn't really come out in the press, hasn't been talked about a lot here locally. But if it's something that you're doing and or something you're interested in doing and looking at doing an ADU or building some kind of in-law quarters, whether it's something you want to rent out or it's something that you have some family members that may be joining you, go to talk to City Hall, and they will be able to kind of put you in the right direction and get you started on that endeavor. So with that, I want to thank all the listeners very much. This was my rookie session of being a guest host today. And I want to thank you for joining us at KCNR, 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, your talk radio. Thanks again, Jared, for all the help today. Have a good one. Bye.